I know she didn't believe me, and I'm sure you don't, but I'll try to talk fast so you listen fast and you'll get through it. Have you ever been in a violent storm? I'm sure at one time or another you have, and even now that experience comes back on the screen of your mind. I remember we had been at a youth conference in Cleveland, and we were being entertained by Mr. and Mrs. Laurie Pyle. We looked out the window, and it was just a gorgeous Sunday afternoon, and I said to Laurie, "This is going to be a wonderful drive back home." Well, we no sooner got out of Cleveland and on that strip from Cleveland up to Buffalo, and boy, it started to snow. And it snowed so heavily, you were afraid to stop and you were afraid to keep going. You just hoped that you could see the car ahead of you. Between the outskirts of Cleveland and Angola, just out of Buffalo, we passed 80 cars in the ditch or in the median. And we were thankful that God in His goodness kept us safe. It was a terrible storm. Well, I think that that's possibly the way these disciples must have felt. As we look at them and their experience in Mark chapter 4, let's just read a few verses, beginning again with our 35th verse, and we'll look again at their plight as they experience it. If we gave the meditation a title this morning, it would simply be "With Christ in the Storm." And how wonderful it is to know His presence in such an experience. "On the same day, when the even was come, He saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him, even as He was in the ship, and there were also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. They awake Him, and say unto Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" May the Lord bless to us the reading of these four beautiful verses. We notice that there was a sudden storm, and it was one that involved not only the people of God, the men of God, those men who walked with the Savior, but certainly He was with them in the storm. It says, there arose a great storm. As I mentioned yesterday, storms of this nature were common on the Galilee. This was a unique lake. Possibly some of you have sailed on it during a visit to Israel. And it's a beautiful lake, some 6 miles in width at the widest point, 15 in length at its longest point, and at times extremely calm and delightful. Some 652 feet below the level of the Mediterranean, surrounded by steep hills. And as I mentioned yesterday, it was not unusual that a violent storm would develop beyond the lake and then come down through the gorge and the southern cleft and create terrifying storms of a very short notice. And so there was little time to prepare, little time to get to shore. And so, as far as these dear men were concerned, they were to experience a storm of great magnitude. Remember, these were experienced fishermen. They knew the dangers of the sea, and they were terrified. They thought for certain that the ship in which they rode was going to go to the bottom. So often, we as believers experience those storms that come suddenly, and without any warning at all. And before we realize it, we're right in the eye of the storm. I remember well that day, I was in a conference with the president of our college, and she'd given directives to her secretary that we were not to be interrupted. And partway through that meeting, her secretary came in, and she said, "I think Mr. McEntee should take this call." And so I did, and then having done so, I excused myself from the meeting. It was a sudden storm which lasted about 3 years. And so we come into these experiences all unannounced, and yet how wonderful it is to know that regardless of the intensity of the storm, still the Lord is with us in it. Believers are in the storm, and unbelievers are in the storm. But as we noted yesterday, we as believers in Christ, we have the joy and the confidence that Christ rides with us through the storm. There were the other little ships, as we made note yesterday, and we thank our God that as we travel the sea of life, we have the opportunity of being a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful to be able to turn to the good word of our great God and know the joy and the thrill of its comforting presence. You remember the psalmist in 119 and verse 71, he said, "It was good for me that I had been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." And there are times when in the sovereignty of God we come into an experience, and we do so to learn the ways of God more perfectly. Where else do you go for godly counsel but to the Word? The saints can be a help, and often are, but in the final analysis, this is the ultimate source of comfort, strength, and direction for the believer in Christ. And here we find our help for such experiences. It was in the book of Nahum, we read in chapter 1 and verse 3, "I know the Lord was in the storm." Beloved, how wonderful it is to know when the storm is breaking that the Lord's in it. And everything that we experience is by His divine will and wisdom. And yet He's there, nearby. There used to hang in our doctor's office a small but beautiful and, I thought, meaningful picture. It was a strong, masculine hand. And tucked safely inside, the soft pink hand of a little child. And underneath it were these words, "Thank you, God, for Father's hand." Beloved, how wonderful it is to know that regardless of the situation in which we find ourselves, we are there by His permissive will, and we experience the warmth of His tender, keeping hand. And so, to know the Lord is with us comforts, strengthens, and sustains. I'm sure that we would not wish to be any place else but in His will and in His hand when the storms of life break about us. Amy Carmichael said, "Thou art the Lord who slept upon a pillow. Thou art the Lord who soothed the furious sea. What matter beating wind and tossing billow, if only we are in the boat with Thee?" That's the secret. Oh, that we might know His presence. There was then a sudden storm. There arose in verse 38 a great storm. But then notice there was as well a sleeping Savior. A sleeping Savior. First glance would suggest that He was unconcerned, but quite the contrary. He was most certainly concerned and involved and concerned about their situation. Isn't it interesting that men and women who are physically strong and healthy, who are enjoying good mental health and peace with God, they have no difficulty in going to rest and to sleep. But it's when those other pressures surrounding us become the storm in which we find ourselves that sleep so often goes. We thank our God that we can know the sweetness and the gentleness of sleep and enjoy it because He giveth that sleep. And we rejoice and appreciate it, don't we? his humanity, as we mentioned yesterday, was obviously evident and proven. A body that was wearied from the demands of the day. Now, he will refresh it by sleep. And it amazes me how he slept as we read through the passage. They that wait upon the Lord, said Isaiah in chapter 40, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And we feel the need, don't we, from time to time, of renewing our strength. How wonderful, then, that we can renew our strength as we are in touch with Him. Because, as David said in 103, He knoweth our frame. He remembers we're dust. And when we fail, when we become weary and faint in the way, He remembers, well, Arnett McEntee is nothing but dust. Thank God for the one who loves and cares. But then notice that there were supplicating saints. Verse 30, 38, they wake him, and they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? These were experienced seamen, but terrified as they rose from to the crest of one wave and dropped to the trough of the next. They thought certain that one time they would go right through the trough and right to the bottom. The rush of the wind, the pounding of the soaking surf, but it didn't waken him. He was asleep in the hinder part of the ship on a pillow. Isn't it interesting? Many of our dear sisters have been mothers. They've had the experience of enjoying a night of rest, sound asleep. Other noises that might normally detract heaven. But then there's just the sigh or the whimper of a child, and immediately they're awake. Beloved, our beloved Lord was asleep, but at the cry of his people, he responded. He responded to supplicating saints. Carest thou not that we perish? And most certainly he did care. As we mentioned yesterday, he'd come from the glory for one express purpose, to redeem these men, to keep these men, to use these men for his glory. And so their cry was heard. Thank God when he hears the cry of his beloved people. How wonderful to experience that truth. I mentioned yesterday a verse that has meant a great deal to us in Psalm 50, verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Psalmist put it another way in chapter 61 and verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto them, unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Beloved, that's what we want, isn't it? We want the protection, the shade, the preserving quality of the great rock. Isaiah could say, 32 verse 12, a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest. Thank God. The man who is that covering, that protection, is the one who experienced the tempest in all of its fury when it broke upon him at the place called Calvary. This morning, he is still the one who grants protection, care, and keeping to his beloved people. He knows the tempest blast because he felt it as no other. The story is told of a dear young mother who had lost a child, a young child. And as she stood grieving at the side of that little casket, friend after friend passed to express their sympathy. But in a moment, along came a woman about the same age. She just embraced her, held her close, said, Mary, home, I've got two little pairs of shoes, the feet of which now walk the streets of glory and of gold. She was able to sympathize with her. She could identify with her. And so it is, as the people of God share their burdens and concerns, letting others know, my dear, I know what it's like because I've been there. I will never forget standing at the side of a brother in our assembly. He and his wife were there at the funeral home grieving over the loss of an infant. The dear old brother, I don't think I ever heard him take part in a worship meeting or open his mouth at any time in the chapel. But he just came up and he hugged them. When he left, my young brother said, isn't the sympathy of God's people wonderful? See, we can identify with those as they go through the experience, particularly if we've experienced the same ourselves. And so, dear ones have been brought through the storm. May seem as though he's asleep and he's unmoved and untouched. But may we remember, beloved, according to Psalm 121 and verse 4, the God of Israel, he neither slumbers nor sleeps. He doesn't know what it is on the throne of glory to slumber or to sleep. But he is here to make his presence known for you and for me. And at the appropriate time, he will rise and speak peace to the storm. There was a great storm. And you and I have come through those experiences. And we've said to ourselves and to our God, Lord, when will it ever end? When can we expect to see the dawn and the brightness again? Yet, time, at God's time, he restores that joy, that peace, that tranquility. And we pass through the storm. They were concerned lest they should perish. Beloved, there are those who are perishing. I wonder if ever we realize and are concerned about their condition. Those in the other little ships, they experienced the storm, but there was no one there in their boat to immediately supplicate and ask for help. Thanks be to our God. He has made possible our everlasting salvation. When we cry, he hears the cry, the supplication, the petition of his beloved people, and at his time he answers. I will never forget an experience. We've had the joy of serving the Lord for a number of years at Camp Lilolai in our younger days, and on one occasion we had taken a group of young people on a hayride up into the mountains. We had a wonderful night. The sky was just ablaze with stars. We stood together and we sang, How Great Thou Art. What an experience. Never forget it. Then we started down the hill. The hay rack was being drawn by a tractor. I was running behind or walking behind the hay rack with several of the other staff members, and all of a sudden the driver lost control of it. And it headed over eventually into the ditch. And I could imagine legs hanging over the side of that hay rack being broken and twisted. And all I could do was scream out, Oh God, help us. There was no time to go from Dan to Beersheba in the prayer. Just one cry, God, help us. And would you believe it? We came out of that thing without a scratch. Possibly 30 kids on the hayride. But God, in the midst of the storm, he heard. And in his permissive will, he answered as was his pleasure. They were concerned about themselves. But then, as I mentioned, there were those other little ships. Thank God. we have the confidence and the assurance that he's with us. But beloved, let's never forget the others. Let's, by our love, our contact with the lost, telling them of the Savior, living Christ before them, might they realize that we have a concern and an interest for them. You may know the suddenness of the storm today, but thanks be to God, the Savior is not sleeping. Supplicate the throne and look to him at his time of divine appointment to answer the prayer and accomplish his purpose. There was a great storm, but he was in it just as much as they. Confidence and peace is ours as a result. Let's ask his blessing. Father, thank you so much for the privilege of being here this morning. We pray that we'll know your nearness and love. We long to walk in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ this day. As we take our trip, we pray that our lives, our conduct, and our witness might be a testimony to the driver and others with whom we will come in contact. We pray in our Savior's precious name. Amen.